Thanks everybody for your questions and your comments, really helpful. Time is marching on, so we've not going to have the time to go through all of them in detail. We'll just see how we get on. But if I don't get to read out what you said or whatever, apologies, I have read all of them and it's really helpful. So one thing I'm going to do is just take the questions first of all and briefly make some comment on them. But again, please come back to me after the service if you want to talk about it more, and then we'll think about some of the things that you've learned as well. So, first question. Well, the person says that it's been a powerful message and summary of Mark's Gospel. They ask the question, how do we answer questions about the discrepancies between Gospels? For example, Jesus anointing a woman in Bethany in chapter 14, different in different Gospels. Excellent question. The four Gospels are part of the reason, one of the many reasons why I believe in Jesus. They strike me as I read them as different people's accounts of events. I would think, I would be deeply suspicious if all four Gospels were exactly the same. So the first thing I want to start by saying is, the question is, do they contradict one another, which is not the same as are they different? Take the anointing of the woman at Bethany as a good example. If you read John chapter 12, I think it is, there we're told that it's Mary, the sister of Martha, who does it. But if you put the two accounts side by side with Mark 14 and John 12, you'll see they tell exactly the same story. However, in Luke's Gospel, I'm not sure about Matthew, but certainly in Luke chapter 7, there's a story about a woman who anoints Jesus that does seem different. But it is different in the sense that that one, the woman is described as pouring perfume over his feet. So I don't know, I'm not saying this is a definitive answer, but they could well be just different incidents. So anyway, overall, to answer the question, you need to look at it for yourself, but I would say that if you read the four Gospels, they are different, and that's much more believable. I cannot believe that four different people using different eyewitness testimonies would describe the same thing. The question is, do they contradict? One of the classic, we're coming up to Easter, the Easter accounts seem a little bit different. So was there one angel, one man at the tomb, or two? Because some accounts talk about two. All accounts say that only one of them spoke. So it's quite possible that one eyewitness account simply refers to the one young man or angel who speaks and tells the women that Jesus is risen. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a contradiction, it's just that different ways you tell the same story. Anyway, if you want a great question, I would say that the apparent, in quotes, differences are more evidence that it's true, that it's believable, someone didn't make it up. Next question, it's a suggestion, can we at some time look at the life of Jesus in more depth, perhaps in another gospel, perhaps comparing gospels? And then there's another question as well, two questions. The short answer is that is yes. So what you might have noticed, my plan at this church is between Christmas and Easter that we will study a gospel every year. So we're doing Mark's gospel this year. Between Christmas and Easter we will look at Luke's gospel, and then the year after that John, and then Matthew, and so we start again. So I hope every year we'll be looking at Jesus, but not necessarily doing the whole gospel. So next year we might look at just a bit of Luke's Gospel, for example. But I do that deliberately because as Christians we're followers of Jesus, and let's put Jesus himself sort of front and centre of what we do. So short answer is yes. And next question, it says, was Jesus wholly man when he went to the cross? Another very good question which deserves a much fuller answer. The short answer is yes. It's essential that Jesus was completely a human being when he died on the cross for us. Some theologians from the early church, known as the Desert Fathers, so this is around about the 4th century AD, a long time ago, one of their sort of mottos was, that which is not assumed cannot be saved. And what they meant by that was, if Jesus wasn't fully human, then he can only save people who are not fully human. I need to know that he is totally like me when he dies and rises again, so that I can trust that he can save people exactly like me. So he has to be God, because only God can save, but he has to be fully human so that it demonstrates that he can save fully human people. Now that's more than a whole lecture course at the Bible College. So if you want to come back to me, please do. But the short answer is definitely yes. It's essential that as Christians we believe in Jesus as being fully God, but also fully human. Another good question. Jesus performed miracles. Can we as Christians perform miracles in the name of Jesus today? The short answer is yes. Next question. No, but it's giving a slightly more full answer. I would remind you what we saw at the end of Mark's Gospel, which is Mark's Gospel makes it clear that it's the job of Christians to be witnesses. So we're not all called to be evangelists necessarily, but we are called to be witnesses, to go and tell. And it's God's job to do the miracles and to do the signs. So sort of yes, and I'm not saying the person writing the question has meant it in this way, but sometimes when people talk about performing miracles in the name of Jesus, it comes across a bit as if it's my job, so I need to go out there and do miracles. No, my job is to go out there and tell people about Jesus. But I believe that the supernatural powers of the New Testament are still around, so he may well choose to do miraculous signs as well. So I do pray for healing, etc. But it's not as if it's me doing. It's not as if somehow I'm super special, so I should be going out healing people all the time. Only Jesus can. Again, if you want to come back, please do. Next question. How do I personally walk in God's ways? Many times I fall in this unrighteous world. How can we be consistent? Excellent question. I think what we've seen from Mark's Gospel, Mark's answer to that would be two parts: Jesus and disciples. So the only way we can be consistent is to keep on trusting Jesus. The whole point of Mark's Gospel is that we've got to have faith in him. He is the one who helps to change us, so let's trust in him. But also that we need one another. If we're trying to be the Lone Ranger Christian doing it all on our own, of course we'll keep failing. That's what church is all about, developing relationships where we know other Christians well enough to support and encourage us, so that when we do fail, they can say, come on, let's get up, let's get back to Jesus, and let's keep trusting him. But if you want to talk about that more, I'd be happy to do that later. Another question is about taking up our own cross. The cost of following Jesus, what does that mean? Well, I suppose the answer to the last question is the response to that. That's something that we do together as we study the Bible together, seeing how particularly Jesus wants us to take up our cross and follow him. That could be all sorts of areas of our lives. The main thing is, in principle, is Jesus our Lord as well as our Saviour. We're just looking to him to save us when we mess up, or is he our Lord? Are we seeking to surrender every single area of our lives to him? Those are the questions. I'll just jump through. You've said lots of fantastic things about from Mark's Gospel, that you've learned to see who Jesus is: the Son of God, the power, the miracles, the Son of Man, the suffering servant. This is a great one. Personally, this person's learned that even the disciples who were with him didn't always get it, so that although I believe, it's okay to have the occasional slip when you wonder what God is up to. That's on it. I love Mark's Gospel because the disciples are real. But Jesus didn't give up on them. He was patient with them. So let's not give up on one another too. That Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to save us. That there was a plan to Jesus' ministry on earth, fulfilling prophecies. That Mark has a great craftsmanship in building up his gospel, so that it's an incredible story about Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of God, is worthy to be believed and to be followed, and it strengthens us as Christians. Jesus' calling to witness, perseverance, the cost of following him, and his love for us, proving that he is who he says he is. Wonderful. We'd be pleased to know that my sermon is going to be really short. All I'm going to say is read Mark's Gospel. Remember verse 1 of Mark 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what it is. I've been reading a book with some other ministers recently that has particularly challenged me to present Jesus that even as church ministers, there's a great temptation to tell you about the benefits of Jesus all the time, instead of just telling you about Jesus. And that's what Mark wants us to do. He wants people to read his gospel, to come to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. And speaking as a Baptist, as a Baptist, sometimes get a bit confused about it. It's quite common in Baptist circles. So we say that Jesus is the head of the church, so it's all about Jesus. But sometimes that can be a bit slippery, because you're left wondering, but who is this Jesus? What's he like? Is that not just what I feel is? Well, Mark would say, no, it's not just any old Jesus, it's this Jesus. Let's get to know this Jesus really well, the Jesus of Mark's gospel. Let's commit our lives to him, and let's get to know him better and better, and read the gospels more and more, so we know not just the Jesus we like him to be, but the Jesus that he really is. And that's why we've done this series, not to fill our heads with lots of information and be really clever because we can recite things, but simply to get to know Jesus better. So that's my prayer for you, that you will, through Mark's gospel, get to know Jesus better. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. But if you've got any more questions, you want to come back on some of that, if you feel I have not really answered your questions, please do. But let's pray and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you've taught us through Mark's gospel. I pray now that we won't forget it as we move on after Easter to look at other things. But may we keep coming back to learning more about Jesus. I pray that personally as individuals, but also as a church here in Rayners Lane. Our desire is that we will see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's our prayer, our request. Help us to know him more by your Spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.